How are you doing tonight, church? Praise God. Has God been good to anybody or just Brother Bill in this place tonight? God's been good to you too. Praise God. He's a mighty good God, isn't he? Let me give you my title right away tonight. Listen, my title tonight is If You Wait, You're Too Late. If you wait, you're too late. If you wait to praise him, if you wait to thank him, if you wait to give him the glory, you're too late. God is worthy. How many know we serve a worthy God? He's worthy to be praised. And he's an awesome God. He's a mighty good God. And anybody know where you were back in February of 2022? February the 19th, 2022. Anybody know where you were? February 19th? A couple people know where they were. Yeah. 2022. I know where I was. February the 19th, 2022. I was on a golf course. I was warming up, getting ready to hit, and all of my playing buddies, they had warmed up ahead of me, and they'd already gone back down to the clubhouse getting ready to start the round of golf. And the Lord protected my life that day. I didn't know when I was headed out to play a simple round of golf that I was going to need God's divine protection, even out there on the golf course. I love going out to play golf because it's a break in my week unlike any other break in the week. I'm always so serious during the week, and golf, I'm always just so jovial. I'm always have to be planned and scheduled during the week, and golf is just completely unplanned and just fun. And I didn't know that day in February that I was going to need God's protection. He's a mighty good God, and he's worthy of our praise. I want to begin tonight showing you a couple of pictures. I'll show you three. I'll show you the first one. That's a TV broadcast. That is from News Channel 5 in Oklahoma City. That is KOCO.com TV. That's Channel 5 Oklahoma City. What happened that day on the golf course was a segment of the news that covered it in Oklahoma City. I don't want to show the hit play there. It's only a short segment that they did. But there was somebody who was deranged and a little out of his mind, and he showed up at the golf course with an AR-15 rifle and started shooting at anything he could shoot at, and I was the closest thing to him. But the news shows his picture and mentions his name, and he's in jail, and I don't want to, you know, sometimes when you show something like that and people see it, then they, you know, they get a whole new life and energy, and I don't want to do that. But I do want to show you what the transcript of most of what was said is there. And it just talks about in that transcript how that morning on the golf course at approximately 9:30, this man shows up with an AR-15. He shows up in a Tesla. We were playing at Cherokee Hills, which is where the casino is, but the casino has a golf course. Brother Bill wasn't at the casino that morning. I was at the golf course. And so, as I say, I was warming up, and probably as far as the sound booth is to me is where his car was. And so he was facing me, but I was hitting balls kind of this way. And so I have another picture up here. This is from Google Maps. Let me show you this map there. In the center of it, you can see a red, it's really a car there in the center of that map. That's the golf course there. In the center of it is a red car, and across the parking lot there is a little golfer image. That's me. And then there's a red arrow which shows you the direction I started hustling out of the way, because I was hitting my balls, minding my business, when all of a sudden, if you've ever heard of an AR-15 rifle, you if you're inside, like at a range, you better have some headgear, you know, because it is a very, very loud rifle. And it went off like a cannon blast, and I was so close to it, and it startled me. I immediately turned around to see from where the shot had come from, and I saw the smoke coming out of the barrel. And then I saw him start firing. And there on the picture, you can see there's a building that's bottom where the center, in the center is the car, but to the left and south of that is, that's the golf clubhouse where my buddies had all just gone. They had all walked inside that clubhouse. There was nobody else on the range. It was cold that morning. And I was the only person out on the range. All of them were getting warmed up before we were going to play golf. And he started firing at that clubhouse and at anybody he could see around that clubhouse. I saw the smoke coming out of the muzzle of the gun, and I just shot pow, pow. And instinctively, I knew he's going to shoot at you. And I had that red line is going across what is a driving range. It's a golf driving range, and it is a no-no to drive a golf cart across there. There's a little golf cart path to the left of that you take, but you would never drive normally a golf cart directly across a driving range. They'd throw you off the course. They saw you doing that. But instinctively, when I heard the shots, I jumped. I left my clubs and jumped in the golf cart and just hit go. And I just headed straight across that golf range because I knew he was going to start shooting at me somehow. And so another lady was an eyewitness testimony that day. The police interviewed both of us, interviewed three people. But there was a lady who saw the whole thing that was behind his Tesla, so she could see the whole thing. And she said he started shooting at that clubhouse, but then he turned. She said he saw something on the range. She didn't know that I was up there. She said he saw something up there, and he got out of the car and started firing at whatever he saw in that range. And I could hear the shots, pow, pow. And I was just, I had my head down just trying to, you know, get out of Dodge and get to a place that was safe. I drove all the way to the top of that range and hid there behind the bushes. And then later the police showed up. There was a big standoff, and they finally got him subdued and got the rifle out of his hand, said that he had cocaine, a number of other drugs and hallucinogens in his system. And he was just delirious, just shooting for no reason. He didn't know anybody there. He just went there to charge his Tesla and just started shooting. He got his AR-15 and just started shooting. But the Lord protected me on that day. And when I heard her testimony, especially when she said, because I just instinctively jumped in the golf cart, and I was the only one on the range, and I just drove up to the top of the range and hid. And when she said he saw something or someone out there, and he got out of the car and started shooting at it. And I started thinking, thank you, God. You're a mighty God. You're my protector. You're my defender. I said, God is a mighty good God. If you could count the times in your life that God has protected you, that God has kept you out of harm's way, that God has kept you from an accident or an injury, God has helped you and I over and over and over again. And he's worthy of our praise. And I came here to tell you tonight, if you wait, you're way too late. If you wait, you're too late. The goal of this message tonight, in these few moments that we have, the goal of this sermon is to show that continual thanksgiving and prayer precedes the manifestation of whatever we're believing for. In other words, we have to thank God by faith before we see the answer to our prayers. Faith works best always in an atmosphere of thanksgiving. And Israel made this mistake over and over again in their history. They never learned how to thank God ahead of the answers to their prayers. God would make promises to them, they would listen to the promises, and they never took the time to thank God over and over again in spite of their circumstances until they saw the manifestation of their prayers. But our God, he's worthy to be praised. In Psalm 106, verses 10 through 12, it says about Israel, in the New Living Translation, Psalm 106, verses 10 through 12, it says, he rescued them from their enemies and redeemed them from their foes. And then the water returned and covered their enemies. Not one of them survived. Look at verse 12. Then his people believed his promises. Then they sang his praises. Israel would not praise him until they saw the dead Egyptians. Israel would not praise him until they saw the water parted. But faith requires you and I to give our God, he's worthy of thanksgiving in advance of the answer, in advance of the manifestation to whatever it is we're believing for. We have to include continual thanksgiving to God. I said, God is worthy to be praised. And we ought to thank him because he's worthy. God is worthy to be praised, and we ought to thank him because we're grateful. God is worthy to be praised, and you and I ought to thank him because he's faithful, faithful to his promises, faithful to his word. And when we're believing God to fulfill his promises, we ought to thank him until we see the answer. The way to get the blessing is through thanksgiving, and the way to keep the blessing that God gives us is through thanksgiving. But you know one thing? We live in a world of constant complaining. Am I right about that? It's been measured that the average person complains 15 to 30 times every single day. Lost all my amens. We live in a world full of complaining people. People complaining everywhere you go. And now it's then crept in the church so that church people complaining everywhere you go. Somebody said, I'm single. I wish I was married. And they're complaining about being single. Somebody married said, I got a stupid spouse. Somebody else is complaining, I'm so tired of driving this car. I wish I were driving a better car. I ought to be driving a better car. We get a case of the if I onlys. If I was only driving a better car, life would be wonderful. Somebody said, I'm so tired of this house. If I only had a better house, somebody's complaining. If I had a better job, somebody's complaining. If I got paid more, somebody's complaining. You know, if I lost 20 pounds, somebody's complaining. And if we're not careful, we've become a people who are ready to complain at a moment's notice. But we must turn our complaining into compliments, and we must turn all of our bickering into praise, because God is worthy to be praised. He's worthy. He's worthy in the morning. He's worthy at noontime. He's worthy when the sun goes down. He's worthy. Let's go to our main text. I have five verses for you out of the book of Exodus, chapter 14, verses 10 through 14 in the New Living Translation. Our main text tonight, it's Exodus 14, verses 10 through 14. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, if you will. Verse 10, as Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them. They cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, why did you bring us out here to die in this wilderness? Weren't there enough graves in Egypt? What have you done to us? Why did you make us leave Egypt? Didn't we tell you this would happen while we were still in Egypt? We said, leave us alone. Let us be slaves to the Egyptians. It's better to be a slave in Egypt than a corpse in the wilderness. And over and over and over again, they complained. They had seen the hand of God move mightily, and yet they complained. God had caused plague after plague to hit Egypt when Pharaoh said, I'm not going to let the people go. One plague, two plagues, five plagues, seven plagues, 10 plagues. They were marching out of Egypt. Yes. In accordance with the promise of God. They had seen God's hand move at the Red Sea. They had seen God provide water for them. Over and over and over again, they had seen the miraculous hand of God moved, and yet they complained. And there's some valuable lessons that can be learned there. Manna wasn't good enough for them. The water God provided wasn't good enough for them. And so this sermon tonight is about thanksgiving to God. Don't let what you're going through tonight, don't let what you're going through right now, if it's something that's not the way you want it to be, don't let that, listen, don't let the sour taste of that get in your heart and get into your mouth and cause you to start complaining. Because there's a God of heaven who is on your side. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15 in the New Living Translation says this. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 through 19. 1 Thessalonians 5, 15 through 19 says this. See that no one pays back evil for evil, but always try to do good to each other and to all people. Always be what? Joyful. Never stop what? Praying. Be thankful in all what? Circumstances. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Let me say this, thankful people are always that way. In every circumstance and situation, they find a way to tell God, thank you. And so briefly tonight, I want to go over seven things that the Holy Ghost laid on my heart to share with you tonight about thankful people, seven characteristics of thankful people. I want you to write fast because I'm going to go a little fast. Seven characteristics of thankful people. Number one, thankful people count their blessings one by one. I said thankful people know how to count their blessings one by one. Thankful people will walk around and say, I'm just glad there's a roof over my head. A thankful person will say, I'm glad that I've got a car to ride in. A thankful person will say, I'm glad I've got the activity of my limbs and that I have a sound mind. A thankful person will say, I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my children. I'm thankful for my spouse. I'm thankful that I have a job. I'm thankful that the hand of God has blessed me all these years. I'm thankful because God has brought me from a mighty long way. I'm thankful from where the Lord has brought me from. When you didn't see me, when you didn't know me, God raised me up and God has lifted me up and God has helped me time and time again. Thankful people know how to count their blessings one by one. Thankful people will tell you the story over and over again about how they got healed, about how they got set free, about how God has blessed them. Thankful people are thankful and they know how to count their blessings one by one. Philippians 4, 6, and 7 says, don't be pulled in different directions, the Passion Translation, or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day, offering your faith-filled request before God. Listen now, with overflowing gratitude, tell him every detail of your life. Our gratitude to God ought to overflow. Somebody says, my gratitude to God doesn't overflow. Well, you ought to start thanking him one by one. Somebody said, well, you know, I wish I had something better to eat. Well, if there was bread on your table, you ought to thank God for that. I was listening to a speaker and on YouTube, and she said that she was in a terrible car accident or something, and whatever happened to her, she was pronounced, it looked like she was going to die, but they brought her back, and the Lord blessed her, and she said she was in rehab, and then she was confined to a wheelchair, and she said, I was complaining because I didn't want to live. I was thinking about my life, and she said, I didn't want to live. I'd been able to walk, and now I'm confined to a wheelchair. I'm in rehab at a rehab center. She said, I was complaining. I was upset. She said she met a man who was also at the rehab center, and he was real cheerful, and he told her, I'm getting married. I'm getting married soon. I'm getting married. And she was looking at him like, you know, she didn't say that, but she was looking at him like, oh, big deal. The fact that he was so happy and cheerful and exuberant made her mad because she was thinking about her own situation, her own circumstances. Here, she'd almost lost her life, and now she's confined to a wheelchair. And this guy talking about he's getting married. He's getting married. You could almost, she didn't say, this is my words now, but she didn't say it, but it's almost like she said, well, whip-de-doo, you're getting married. You ever said that to somebody, whip-de-doo? Maybe you didn't use those words, but somebody said, hey, I got blessed with a brand new job. You thinking about your job, whip-de-doo. Somebody showed up and said, I lost 50 pounds. You thinking about I gained 10 pounds, whip-de-doo. Somebody said, boy, the Lord blessed me with a brand new home. You said, I'm still walking in an apartment, whip-de-doo. So she looked at the guy like, whip-de-doo. He said, I'm getting married. Whip-de-doo. But she said, then she looked down at his feet and she saw that he didn't have any legs. And yet he had perspective that he could be that happy, that exuberant, that joyful. And she was complaining that she had to be in a wheelchair and here's a man who didn't even have any legs. So often when we're complaining, you know what we need? We need perspective. Perspective. Because if we could see our situation the way that God sees our situation, we would stop all that foolish complaining. And we would learn to lift a hand and just say, thank you, Jesus. If we could look around and see kids that are have good health and that are doing well, we would stop all that complaining and say, thank you, Jesus. If we could see a husband who gets up to goes to work and brings his paycheck home, we'd say, thank you, Jesus. If we could see the God who's been there for us over and over again, we would lift a hallelujah to the Lord. Thankful people count their blessings one by one. Secondly, thankful people rehearse God's faithfulness in their lives. Hebrews 11:11 in the New American Standard says this, by faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive, even beyond the proper time of life. Listen, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Oh my, Sarah had a different perspective after she left. She learned to consider God faithful who had promised. And she knew that God was so faithful that if he said it, he would do it. If he promised it, he would bring it to pass. If he said it would happen, he was going to make it happen. Thankful people rehearse God's faithfulness in their lives. Thankful people remember what they were, where they were 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Thankful people remember where God has bought them from and can see God bought me from a mighty long way. Third, thankful people can see beyond their present circumstances. 2 Corinthians 4:16 in the New American Standard, 2 Corinthians 4:16 in the New American Standard says this, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. Verse 18, while we look not, oh, there it is, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thankful people can see beyond their present circumstances. Someone said, how are you going to make it through the end of the month? A thankful person will say, I may not know, but I know that God is my provider, and God will open the door, and God will provide for me, and I'm not going to worry about that. George Mueller, and yesteryear he ran orphanages and was such a mighty man of God, and he had a big orphanage with a lot of children, and he ran out of food, and he had no more food to feed the children. And he had those children come to the breakfast table, and he had those children sit down at the breakfast table, no food, nothing to feed them. And he had those children say the grace, and they had no food. They gave thanks. They said the grace and didn't have a morsel. But George Mueller knew something about how thankful people can see beyond their circumstances. And he had them children thank God for food when they had no food. And after they said the grace, the baker knocked on the door and said that he had bread. That he had bread for the children. And he bought in bread. And it wasn't long after that, just outside the door where the orphanage was, the milk truck broke down. And the milkman thought the milk was going to spoil, and he knocked on the door and said, I want to give you this milk because it's going to go bad. My milk truck broke down right at your door. And just like that, they had bread and milk because they took the time. I wish I had an amen in here to thank God. They took the time to bless the Lord instead of complaining. Thankful people count their blessings one by one. Thankful people rehearse God's faithfulness in their lives. Three, thankful people can see beyond their present circumstances. Four, thankful people think the best of other people. Thankful people aren't so caught up in themselves. Thankful people put other people ahead of themselves. Thankful people put other people first. Thankful, you know that acrostic of joy, Jesus first, others second, yourself last. Thankful people will put Jesus first, will put other people second. Philippians 2:14-15 in the NIV. Philippians 2:14-15, NIV. Do everything without grumbling or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God without fault in a warped and crooked generation, and then you will shine among them like stars in the sky. NIV, Philippians 2, verse 3, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but rather in humility, listen, value others above yourself. Oh, I like that. Thankful people will value other people. See, thankful people can get in the parking lot and say, no, you go first. Thankful people can be at the red light, somebody get ready to cut them off, say, no, that's okay, you go ahead. Thankful people don't get mad every time the parking lot worker says, hold on, now you can't go right now. Thankful people don't get mad when the usher says, hey, I'm sorry, you can't sit there tonight. A brother lost all his amen. Thankful people think the best of other people. Can I say this, number five? Thankful people maintain their joy at all times. Philippians 4:4 says, always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. And Paul wrote that from a prison cell. Philippians 4:4. Thankful people, what's number five? Thankful people maintain their joy at all times. James 1:2, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. Yeah. Romans 8:31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? But in all these things, verse 37, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. Thankful people maintain their joy at all times. And you can't get joy riding around in Audis and BMWs. That's all right. There's nothing wrong with that. But let me tell you this. Joy comes from Jesus. There's only one source of joy, and his name is Jesus. You know, the things and products and things, that might give you a little happiness. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you want joy, true Bible joy, you got to have Jesus for that. Thankful people maintain their joy at all times. Number six, thankful people thank God before and until the answer arrives. Thankful people thank God before and until the answer arrives. In Luke 17, verses 11 through 19, after Jesus healed the 10 lepers, and the one turned back to give him thanks. And you know what Jesus asked the question? Didn't I heal 10 of you? Where are the other nine? Jesus was curious as to, and he told the man who he healed, go your way, your faith has made you whole. Because when they asked him to heal them, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And they had to leave there in the natural. But by the time they got to the priest, they were all healed. They had to thank God on the way to the priest in order to receive the healing. But then only one turned around to say, thank you. And Jesus noticed the one person who was not there. Thankful people count their blessings one by one. Thankful people rehearse God's faithfulness in their lives. Thankful people can see beyond their present circumstances. Thankful people think the best of other people. Thankful people maintain their joy at all times. Thankful people thank God before and until the answer arrives. And number seven, thankful people know that he's an on-time God. Thankful people know he's an on-time God. 1 Kings 18:43 through 44, when the man of God prayed that it would rain, and after he prayed, he asked his servant to go look and see if it was going to rain, if it was raining, and if there were any clouds, any sign of rain. There was no sign of rain. He sent the servant back. You know the story. He sent the servant back. Second time, the servant came back and said, there's no sign of rain. No answer to your prayer. Send him back another time. No answer to your prayer. Send him back six times. No answer to the prayer. Send him back seven times to look for a cloud. He came back and said, there's a little cloud, size of a man's hand, not going to cause the rainstorm that you're looking for. He said, no, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's it, that's my blessing. He had high expectation. Thankful people know that he's an on-time God. Thankful people know that God will make a way where there is no way. Thankful people know they've been there before. Thankful people don't get all shaky and flaky. Thankful people know God will come through. Thankful people know he's a God who can do anything but fail. Thankful people know, like Jeremiah, is anything too hard for God? Thankful people know, like Abraham, God, nothing is too hard for you. Thankful people know, like the Hebrew boys, he can bring you through the fire and you won't even smell like smoke. Hey, when you come out of the fire. Thankful people know that God will show up on time. God will be the fourth man in the fire. God will see you through for that job. God will bring you through on the other side. God will make a way where there is no way. Thankful people know. Let me conclude this message tonight because it's so important. I want to conclude by showing you a picture, one more picture before we go. If I can show you one more picture, if we could show them that last picture tonight. Thankful people know that God is an on-time God. I'm sure they're looking for my last picture up there. Thankful, there it is. You know what that is? That is an apartment in Kiev, Ukraine, where a missile, a Russian missile, flew right through this apartment. And in the apartment was a family of 9 people in there praying. A mother and father, their kids, they were all huddled up in there praying, and a missile comes right through the ceiling but did not explode. Thankful people know that God is an on-time God. Thankful people know that God can make a way where there is no way. And if your complaints outweigh your thanksgiving, then your problems are going to outweigh your promises. But if your thanksgiving outweighs your complaints, then your promises are going to outweigh your problems. Thankful people don't complain, and complaining people aren't thankful. My friend, I don't know what you've been going through lately, but I know the Lord gave me this message to share for tonight at this time. And I don't know what you may be or may have been or might be about to complain about, but what I want to do is help you to have good perspective that God, stand up on your feet tonight, God is a mighty good God. And God, he's not done being good to you. If you would, just lift one hand to him and tell him thank you. If you would, tell him thank you for, lift your voice. Tell him thank you, God, for saving me. If you would, tell him thank you for making a way for me. If you would, say, Lord, thank you for opening doors for me. You've helped me time and then time again. Tell him thank you, Lord. You healed my body. You healed my mind. You healed my emotions. Tell him thank you, Lord. You've brought me through again and again. When it looked like I wasn't going to make it, when it looked like the answer wouldn't come, you were right there every single time. You're an on-time God, and I want to thank you. Thank him for being so good. Thank him for seeing you through. Thank him for opening a door. Thank him for making a way. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. He's been good to you. God has been so good to you, so good to your family. He's a mighty good God. Father, we bless you tonight. We honor you and thank you for all of your goodness. And we trade in our complaining to give you praise and to thank you and to bless you. In the midst of whatever we're going through, we thank you for being so good. Tonight, as our prayer room, our prayer workers come, these are anointed men and women, ready to pray, ready to agree. And if you need something tonight, you want to be saved, you want to be filled with the Spirit, you want to find out about healing, or you want somebody to agree with you in prayer, come on forward. You know how we do by now. The ladies come to these ladies, and the guys come to these guys, and you won't leave here like you came. Hey, evaluate your own life. Evaluate your own attitude of thanksgiving. You've been complaining too much? Think about it. Ask the Lord. Ask the Holy Spirit. But I encourage you to thank him. Go through each of those steps. Thank God for his goodness to you. God's not done being good to you. We're so glad you came tonight. We're so glad that you braved the weather to hear the word. Now apply faith to the word and let the Holy Ghost apply the word to you however you need it. Be here Wednesday night, hour of power, and then Sunday morning, another dynamic word here, 10 a.m. Sunday morning. We love you guys. Thank you for being here. God bless you. Go thankful tonight. God bless you.